You living?
I'm doing great, Ben. Thanks for having me on again.
Hey, it's great having you on. You're putting out all these top 10, top 20 articles. You're always ranking people. You're so competitive. And BYU fans, I think, eat it up. I think Utah fans in general, sports fans in general, like to look at these and comment about it and debate it. I wanted to talk about the first round draft pick. We got the NBA draft pick. Or the draft coming up in late June. We had Travis Hansen on earlier in the show. We talked about Tyler Hawes, his potential to be a draft pick. And he's not so sure about it. There hasn't been a lot of BYU draft picks in the NBA. Not very many first-round draft picks either. But, you know, let's talk about your list here. You compiled it just this off season. Walk us through it a little bit.
It's really interesting considering how good BYU has been, and of course we cover Weber State, Utah State, and Utah on this list as well. It's really interesting between the four schools that there've only been 19 guys ever drafted in the first round. Although there have been plenty of guys drafted as high as one or two, there hasn't been a great deal of success when it comes to guys getting drafted in the first round from Utah.
Break down who's had the most. Who's had the most draft picks in the state of Utah? BYU, Utah, or Utah State?
Utah State actually has only ever had one guy drafted in the first round. Weber State won as well, but BYU's had 7, and then Utah's had 10. So it's pretty close between Utah and BYU, but Utah just nudges them out there, and they may get 11 this year with DeLon Wright. So,
automatically, if you ask this question to a Utah fan, if you ask it to, let's talk about Utah fans first. Who are they going to say? Who's the best first round draft pick to ever come out of the state of Utah? Do you think that they agree with you when you say that it's Tom Chambers?
I find that a lot of people forget guys. And not because of any bias on their part, but it's just a matter of who's been the most current, is the most recognizable. So a lot of Utah fans might say Andrew Bogut, and a lot might say Andre Miller, because they're the most current guys, or the two guys in the NBA right now. But then when you bring up the name Tom Chambers, everybody goes, oh, yeah, that's right, Tom Chambers. He was awesome.
Tell me, talk to me about Mel Hutchins. Everyone forgets Mel Hutchins because he played in the 50s. He was the second pick overall, drafted by the Tri-Cities Blackhawks. He played 7 seasons in the NBA for the Milwaukee Hawks, Fort Wayne Pistons, and the New York Knicks. How good was Mel Hutchins back in the day? Do we have any video of Mel that maybe we can find on BYU TV? When you were looking for information, were you able to find anything about Mel?
I didn't see a great amount of video. It's pretty difficult to track some of that stuff down. But I think a lot of people, when they do rankings like this, Ben, I think a lot of people like to rank back to 1980 or maybe to 1970. People forget about the early days of the NBA. And I think we would shortchange great players like Mel Hutchins, because if he'd have stayed healthy, he would have been a Hall of Famer. He was a dominant rebounder during his time in the NBA. I mean, he was top 10 in the MVP voting a couple of years. He made 4 All-Star games. He was a really, really solid player.
Who's got more opportunity to grow right now in the league? Do you think Damian Lillard will move up your charts into possibly that number 1, number 2, number 3 slot? He's at number 5 right now. Tell me about Damian Lillard.
Oh, there's no question he could be number 1 on this list. A lot of that has to do with longevity, because if injuries cut his career short, or if he loses a step, or obviously, this offseason, Portland can lose a bunch of talented players, and that can leave him to have to be the man to carry the load by himself, and that might have an effect on him. But if he can stay healthy, he can be a dominant player in the NBA for a long, long time, and no question that could put him at the top of the best players ever to come out of Utah schools.
You got Jimmer Fredette at number 17. Do you think this is the year that he says, you know what, NBA, I'm done with you. It's time to go to the EuroLeague and let me be me?
You know what's funny? I thought that was a really strong possibility, but I wonder how much of a push now that New Orleans gets to have him stick around for one more year, just for the fact that they hired Alvin Gentry. And Alvin Gentry has run an offense when he's been a head coach that is actually a really good fit for Jimmer if he can get onto the floor, because it's an up-tempo style. He had Steve Nash in Phoenix, and he let them push the ball, get the ball up quickly. And if Jimmer can have the ball in his hands, he can be effective.
You think the Alvin Gentry hire is going to be good for Jimmer Fredette?
If he re-signs there, I mean, in my opinion, it'd be a great fit for him to go over to Europe, because they play, you know, one or two games a week. You get a lot of practice time. And Americans come over there, and they're expected to shoot, they're expected to handle the ball, and they're expected to score, because they're the ones who are getting paid. And those are three things that Jimmer can really do, and he would be a huge star in Europe. He'd probably actually make more money there, and he'd be a legend. He'd be somebody like Mike D'Antoni, you know, who when he came back over here, everybody knew him in Italy, but they didn't know him here.
Jay Yeomans from the Deseret News on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Do you cover BYU recruiting at all? Do you follow that, Jay?
I do.
So looking at the next 5 years, 5 to 7 years, the rosters, do you foresee any one of these players with the potential to be a first-round draft pick, whether current or future?
Absolutely. Obviously, it's really tough to tell what happens to a kid on a mission, what kind of motivation they have when they come back. But I really think Peyton Dastrup has an NBA skill set. And if he can come back and put on some weight and still be able to stretch the floor because he's got a nice outside touch, I really think he has a good shot to be a first-round pick.
What about Kyle Collinsworth?
I really like Kyle. I think if he puts a lot of work in the gym and on fixing the mechanics a little bit with his jumper and being more effective on the outside, since the NBA has gone very, very analytically focused, then you need to have your guards be able to shoot the three. I think if he can add that to his game in this next 6 to 8 months, I think he has a good shot of being a first-round pick.
Jay, appreciate you hopping on with us. Continue to do great work with your articles there at the Deseret News. Always giving us some great info to talk about here on our show.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate you having me.
Yep, thanks, Jay. There you have it, Jay Yeomans from the Deseret News.